But you can be alone and have a multitude of people around you. You can have all kinds of people praying for you and patting you on the back, but only God can really minister to you in your deep depths of your soul. And you can have a lot of people around you, but you can feel like you're the only one in the room. And I'm sure this lady felt so alone, no matter how many others were around her as she's walking behind the casket, as the scripture calls it, the bier, the pain and the loss, all the struggle, everyday life. At least at one point she used to share those burdens with her son. And now she can't even do that. And instead now she has more burdens to bear alone. No son by her side. Planning the burial arrangements. And now that day has come to bury him with no husband or child to assist. It also brings out in the scripture here that her future is regretful. It's without hope. There's nothing there because the husband's gone, and the Bible says the young son is gone, and the Bible says in verse number 12, the only son. This is the only one she had. It wasn't like, well, at least the older brother or the younger daughter, at least there's another child coming along. This is it. Her future is regretful. There's not hope there. No other children, no grandchildren coming along. This hopelessness and darkness. And it reminds me of Naomi when she left Bethlehem and went to Moab. When she went, she had young kids and her husband, Elimelech. And when she went to Moab because there was a famine in Bethlehem. And then the Bible tells us that she lost her husband and her sons got married to two of the ladies there, Orpah and Ruth. And both of them died. And she comes back with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And that's what that whole book of Ruth is about. And she come back. And her name, Naomi, meant pleasant. But she comes back and they say, oh, there's Naomi. She said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara because I'm bitter. The Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. That's what she felt like. There was a sense of bitterness towards God, that God had dealt bitterly towards her. Loss after loss after loss. She went full, and she's coming back empty. This widow lady here can relate to Naomi there. And maybe we can relate to it somewhat. Begging in this culture, in this time of poverty, was a real possibility for her. That after this funeral was over, and after everybody stirred up emotionally in the funeral, and then maybe give a little donation here and a little meal here, after the dust cloud settles, the reality may come in to where she's going to have to be begging. And burdening other people was a definite probability that she was going to have to be a burden on somebody else. Somebody else is going to help prop her up, support her, walk with her, to help take care of her. She's not going to be able to have another child, and we don't know the age of her as far as getting married again, but we do know in the context of where things were right now, her past, present, and future is revealed all in verse number 12. So we see that sorrowful woman, and we move on in the verse, and we see in verse number 13, we see a sympathizing Messiah. Now I did alliterate the hound out of this, but y'all, if y'all don't care about alliteration, then just roll your eyes and let's move on. But I still did it, amen. Jesus is the Messiah. The Jews looked and longed for the Messiah to come, the Redeemer to come. A male child be born through the matrix would come, and that mother that would have that Messiah born would be a blessed woman in the world. And many of the women longed and hoped that they could have given birth to the Messiah. And yet somehow he secretly, seemingly come amongst them, virgin born, not at all like they had planned. They didn't necessarily agree with it. It wasn't like that they had expected it. But in the Messiah, what prophecies he was to fulfill and who he was to be as a person and the hope of Israel, he just didn't fit the bill quite like they had thought he would. And this Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God, takes time on this day to go to this funeral. You'll never convince me at all that Jesus wandered around aimlessly looking for a poor widow woman. Amen. I believe when he got up in the morning, he said, I cannot wait for this day to get started. I'm going to mess up a funeral. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know. I just don't think he had a bored day at one time when he was here. And since he saved me, he's never had a bored one since. Amen. He was not focused on sitting on the throne of Rome and dethroning Caesar from the Roman Empire and taking the taskmaster off of their back again, like they had longed and cried out even in the days of Pharaoh when they thought Moses who had to been that redeemer. But now we look and Jesus is here, and he comes, and instead of occupying his life or sitting on the throne of Rome, he wants to sit on the hearts, the throne of the hearts of men and women, to walk alongside them as an ever-present help, as the book of Psalms says, Psalm 46, and he is my ever-present help. And you mothers can shout amen anytime, you widow ladies can get in there any moment you want, but he's been with me every storm I've ever faced, every death, every time I walked down through behind my own loved ones who was to be buried, he walked along with me, and his presence was real in my life. And the Bible says here, his compassion was revealed. He saw. Look at verse 13. When the Lord saw her, he saw her. He did. He sees you. He sees you right now today. He knows your need. He knows your heart. He knows where you're. We got some family in the church right now. This verse, this passage, is very realistic to them, very relative to them. They just buried a loved one. They know what it's like. They've been there. And some have lost as many things as the ladies we've referred to today. And his compassion, amen, he saw her, and he sometimes in our compassion, there's just nothing else to it. It's just a small little element of passion, and we go on with our life. It no longer burdens us or bothers us anymore. But Jesus wasn't like that. He would cause inconvenience to his own disciples sometimes to say, time out, boys. I got something. I must needs go through Samaria. Yes. They go running by meat at Bilo's line. Sorry, brother Carl. Bilo's gone in the food line. Amen. They go buy food at food line and come back, and he has meat to eat that they know not of. He has found something greater to occupy his time. He was not focused on those things that they thought he should be focused on. Amen. He befriended people. He wanted to become God to them. He wanted them to understand he was God in the flesh that dwelt amongst us. His compassion, as one says, it does fail not. His comfort is revealed here. He says, weep not. She's crying. Tears flowing down her face. Walking behind the casket of her son. No husband to console her. A multitude around here, yet she still feels very alone. And he takes time to comfort her. When you say weep not, now I don't know, there's probably anybody in here, you have to be a pretty hard person. I know some of you are. You think you're tough. But I've seen some tough people. They're just as tough as they can be. And somebody starts crying. It's like, they start crying. If you call out a wimp, I call it compassion.
That's right.
I call it compassion, amen. She's crying, and now he wants to bring comfort to her. And he said, don't cry. You ever done that? Mama, don't cry. Please don't cry. Honey, please don't cry. Try to stop them. Stop crying. No more tears. All these we have said or thought when we've seen somebody else cry. When we've seen others weep. I remember I was at a funeral. I didn't do it, but it was a friend of mine I worked with at the furniture store back in the day when I was working at Rhodes Furniture. And this guy, he had a hole in his heart from the age of 9. And he had a pacemaker when he was 9. Had to replace it at 19. Every 10 years, they kept having to replace it. And he ended up having congestive heart failure. And he died at the age of 42. He had two young kids, probably around the age maybe Gemma and Jade's age. With a boy and a girl. And I remember we went to the funeral, and the whole workplace turned out for it. A lot of people I knew from work were there. And I remember being in the funeral, and they did the songs and the sermon and all that, and I'm there as a friend. And I remember watching the family when they all stand, you know, the family gets up to exit. And I watched grief on his little boy walking down the aisle. And I saw a broken little heart. That little boy, he's just weeping and crying. I started crying. I felt so hopeless with him because his daddy was gone, and this was the next steps to the graveyard, and daddy wasn't coming home. And he's comforting her, and he says, weep not. Now, we would want to say, stop crying, please, son. Here, let me get a, You ever done that? Here, let me bring you a handkerchief. Here, I know I've done this before. Somebody's crying. I'm just like, here, just take this. Please wipe your face. Please stop those tears. Well, we're limited, pretty much powerless when somebody's crying to really comfort them. I mean, you can only do so much maintenance of comfort. But I met somebody in the person of who Jesus Christ is. This Messiah, he fills the whole package. He's everything I could ever want and more. He's things I didn't even know that were even needed by God, but he is those as well. He's A to Z in all those compartments of my life. And I can't mend the broken heart. He specializes in that.
Yes, sir.
And he can dry those tears, and he's getting ready to do it in a miraculous way. So he tells her, weep not. And he came and he touched the bier, which is the casket. Like I said, it's kind of like they're carrying it like a stretcher. And he's all wrapped up, prepared to go into the grave. And it's being carried, and he stops it. And he touches the bier, the body, the casket. He touches it all, and he commands here in the middle of this funeral. He says, he doesn't say, pallbearers, stop. Mama, stop this funeral. He said, young man. That's straight to the point. Who's he talking to? A dead person?
Yeah.
Only he can talk to dead people.
That's
and
right.
It make any sense at all in this world.
Yeah.
Now, the mother's like, quit crying. Okay, I'll try. Young man, what is he doing? What's wrong with this man? He's talking to my dead son. I say unto thee, arise. First resurrection he would ever perform in the Bible. Most people agree with that.
Amen.
In the context of the Gospels. This is the first time Mr. Death, amen, is going to have a head-on collision with the freight train called resurrection.
Amen.
Getting ready to lose its grip and battle over a young man who has broken the heart of his mother. He commands here, simple to the point. And it was enough. If you read the story, you read it, he's going to sit up and speak up.
Yep.
And the scripture says, he says simply, young man, I say unto thee, arise. That's simple, isn't it?
Yep.
I'm glad you didn't say, here, read this book. I got a new book out. Your best life again. Here you go. It was a jab. I'm sorry.
Keep going.
Amen. It was a jab. I got a conference in town, a seminar. Now, here's some tickets, and if you'll come down there. I got a healing campaign going on tonight. You bring him down there. I know you got a few, but bring him on down there, and we'll see if we can raise him up. No, he didn't do that. And I'm glad one day, simply put, come up here. There's going to do it for all of us.
Right.
It's going to be enough, too, on that day. Amen.
That's right.
Now, see his commitment. The Bible teaches us under the law in the book of Numbers that if you touch a dead body, you defile yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
No rabbi or priest would ever have touched this man's body. That would have never stopped the process. It defiles them. By law, they would be unclean and have to separate themselves, be exiled for 7 days. Now, any type of delay of days in our life, no matter what it is, if it's like you're waiting on your car or whatever, nobody likes those kind of things. Can you imagine 7 days set apart because you're unclean ceremonially by the law and you have to wait that whole process out, then show yourself to the priest again and be announced, pronounced clean again back into the life, back into culture again. And the Bible says in Numbers 19:11, he that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. And he reached his hand out on the casket, touched that dead man's body, that open casket. And it revealed something about the weakness, the cruelty of the law. It exposes these priests. They begin to hate Jesus for events like this.
Yeah.
He breaks the Sabbath days. He somehow stands upon the law or fulfills the law. He supersedes the law over and over and over again. He's just the main attraction in the law seems to continue to be in the backdrop.
Yeah.
The Bible says, Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending, amen, his own son into the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh.
the corruption and defilement associated with him touching a dead body, he committed to it regardless. Because he knew that all power was given unto him. He knew that he had a name that no other people knew about yet. He had a name called the Resurrection and the Life. And on that one touch of that day, touching the dead was superseded and defeated by the touch of the one whose name is life. For a person touching a dead body, 7 days unclean and exiled, but for a dead person being touched by Jesus, new life. Unlimited new days, amen? Not necessarily unlimited, but a whole lot more than you didn't have, amen? I believe this death's first encounter with Jesus as the Son of God, when death was defeated for the first time in the New Testament, it was just to give us a little glimpse of the glory and the power and the majesty of who Jesus is and how he would victoriously gain himself over all death and hell and have the keys one day. He was going to rise from the dead his very self. 1 Corinthians 15:54, Paul says, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. At this moment, he's going to swallow up death right here. He's going to stop it. Now, he hadn't chewed it all up and digested it yet, but he'll have 3 days to do that in the tomb. And on the third day, God will raise him from the dead. And because of that, you and I that are in Christ, we have the hope of we are going to be resurrected as well. Amen. Hebrews 2:14 says this, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death.
That's right.
That is the devil. Did you know the devil had the power of death loaned to him? And he used it a lot. But the Bible says when Jesus died and rose from the grave, he destroyed that power. He had the power to destroy it. In Hebrews 2:15, he uses this interesting word. Now notice here, the Bible says, he that was dead, verse 15 in our context where we're at, began to speak. He sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And that was the title of my message, a special delivery to a grieving mother. He delivered her dead son back to her alive. That's pretty good. That's better than flowers. That's pretty good. That beats candy any day of the week as far as I'm concerned, amen. Well, the Bible said in Hebrews 2:15, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He delivered us and every human that was fearful of death when they have hope in Christ Jesus. No longer have to have the fear of death. We can have the hope of the resurrection. The Bible said he took on the seed of Abraham. He took on that form of a man. And he tasted death for every man. But right here, he's just touching death. But he'll soon taste it himself.
Yes.
This is the kind of gift Jesus can give a sorrowful mother. He knows how to give the right gift at the right time. Knows exactly what to say. If he would have said, quit crying, they'd have probably got mad. But when he said it, he followed it right back up. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he sat up. He spoke up. He becomes, my next point, a speaking miracle. He that was dead. Did you read that? Verse 15, and he that was dead. That phrase sounds familiar. Jesus is going to use that phrase about his very own self in the book of Revelation 1:18. I think he must have got it from this part here. I like that. Or maybe it was there because he influenced it was there. Whatever you want to believe. But in Revelation 18, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. That's such a ring to it. I hope I get to say that when I get to heaven. I was dead. So I was too. Hallelujah, sister. It's just got some juice on it, amen. It really does. And I am alive forevermore. And he has to say his own amen, and he ought to, and have the keys of hell and of death. He plucked this young man from the clutches of the grave. He was just steps away from being put into the ground or put into a tomb. And he resurrected this person who represents the very first someone he resurrected for the very first time in his ministry. He that was dead sat up and spoke up. He began to speak. Jesus stopped this funeral. Death lost. And now death's just having to stand around with his mouth open going, what the world? What is going on? Can you imagine that somebody reports to the devil, we got to clean up on aisle four. Something's wrong. What's going on? Jesus, let's go check this out. All you can do is watch. All you can do is watch. Now, I don't know what this man said, and maybe this kind of stuff, there'll be a special seminar for weirdos like me who want to know this kind of stuff. I want to know what he wrote in the sand to when the woman was caught in the act of adultery. I do. And I want to know what this guy said too. The Bible said he sat up. You can imagine him laying down and he sets up. He's covered up. And then he starts speaking. Now, I don't know if it's all mumbled. I have no idea. It doesn't say that they delivered him, which means the delivery might have been unwrapped. It's like, take that off his face. I don't know. There's a lot of things we don't know about it. But if you'll just let me use my imagination just for a second. I think I could hear him say, wait a minute, what? What am I doing in the casket? Mama, what's going on? Who is this man? Mama might have said, son, we'll catch you up on everything right after we clean up the funeral. Her future was hopeless, and the path to the grave was all that laid before her. And now she holds him in her arms. Can you imagine that? She got prepared for that day to say her last goodbyes, and now she gets to say hello again. That's what Jesus represents to us as the resurrection and the life. I'm going to get to see my mom again. She said she was saved. I believe she was saved. And I have that blessed hope. And I long and look to see her. I remember her crying in the cancer. We were in the room in the hotel, cancer treatment every day, hours a day in Arkansas. And I remember us one Sunday morning, I had to be there with her. I couldn't come to church. Brother Tommy Hayes was preaching here for us. And I remember they cut on some gospel music on there and they began to sing some song. I can't remember what it was. But whatever it was, God just dosed a little anointing on it. We both got to crying. And she looked over at me. She said, do you think God could forgive me? Because she had been out of church a long time. And she had been backslidden a long time. I said, Mom, I know he can. And boy, she wept and she cried. And she wept her way back to God. And we just worshiped in that little room there. And I look at that moment there. It changed so much in our lives when she just let Jesus back in control of her life. The Lord still took her. But I know exactly for certain where she is today. And I'm glad that my future, at the moment when I'm walking behind the grave of a loved one, it looks pretty dim, it looks pretty sad. But now this lady's holding this boy in her arms. Her son's bringing joy to her. She, just hearing his voice again. Can you imagine the joy that brought to hear him talking again? And her eyes beholding him when just a few seconds before he was lifeless and dead, and now he's sitting up wiggling around and mumbling around and speaking and wanting to know and probably asking a lot of questions. I just say hallelujah, what a Savior we have. He sat up, got up by the getting up power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can all rejoice with this grieving widow mother and what this moment must have been like. And one day, all of us saved folks, we're going to get to experience it ourselves. Yes. So, I don't know if I'm going to die before the rapture takes place. I believe that's from the body's present with the Lord.
That's right.
If our soul, our spirit will be in heaven. But I believe, doctrine, now you may disagree, I don't believe I'm going to get my glorified body yet until we meet him in the clouds. I believe that's where that happens. And so when he says, come up hither, and the trump of God will sound. And all A-double-L, the dead in Christ, every mama, amen, every grandma, every daddy, every grandpa, every child, everyone that died in Christ, they're going to sit up. And I think we're going to speak up. The Lord said the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a peep. That's a different version. Y'all got to get the new version, the right version, King James Version, amen. It says, with a shout.
That's right.
He's going to shout in victory as he comes. And I believe it's going to cause me to at least have a little peep of going up in the clouds to meet him in the air. Amen. Now, I got time. I got some extra credit points here. I didn't think I'd get here. But this passage isn't finished because the Bible says there was a surprise multitude here. And they feared God and they glorified him. They rejoiced. They realized who he was, what was happening, or at least to some degree. They believed. They said, a great prophet has risen among us that God had visited his people. Now, they didn't have it all together, but I'll promise you this, God is showing his visitation to his people. But look at this. I see a surprise multitude, but I see a searching man. All this is going on, and John the Baptist's disciples are watching it. They're watching it. They're standing somewhere on the corner. I guess maybe they're following Jesus around. You know, John the Baptist, who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He told Herod, "It's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife." He put him in jail. He's on death row. He's going to have his head cut off. And now that he knows he's going to die, he's starting to have some questions. He's starting to search in his heart. And his disciples, the Bible said in that scripture, "And the disciples of John showed him all these things." They went back. Can we visit John? What's his last name? The Baptist. Okay. All right. Two of his disciples. We got to tell you something. We were at a funeral. And Jesus stopped the funeral. And he raised this boy up right out of his casket. Right in the street. Right in the street. People was going, they were fearing God. It was crazy what was going on. We just thought, what happened? Jesus did it. And John calling unto him his two disciples, means he requested, verse 19, he said, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" He told his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one, or do we need to look somewhere else?" I promise you, he's the one. You don't need to look anywhere else. There's no other name given among men where we must be saved. There, listen, it's not through the Baptist church or the Methodist church. It's through Jesus Christ alone. And he didn't have to search no more. Death waiting on that man to him to die. Jesus replies. He says, "Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How the blind see and the lame walk." The Bible tells us in the context of Scripture in the book of Matthew. He just started healing people right when they came up. Okay, you're healed. You get your height. Here's your sight back. Here's your hearing back. He did all those things to display the wonder of who he was. And they go back to John. He said, "You go tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached." And John was able to have his head chopped off knowing he was the one. He was able to face death knowing that Christ was the right one to trust in.
Amen.
I'm glad I know Jesus Christ is the right one to trust in. In this passage of Scripture, the Bible says he delivered him to his mother. Amen.
Yes.
What a special delivery. I don't know if they have morticians like they do today. There's some good funeral homes out there. I like Alan down here at Fletcher's. He's a good man. But that funeral director probably was a little upset. He's like, "What are we doing?" Now, we don't know when that young man died later. We don't know anything about his life. But I just don't see how you could experience something like that and never quite get over it. I had a death and life experience, and it's called a spiritual death and a spiritual life. The Bible, Sister Todd, I want you to come play for us. The Bible says, "I was dead in trespasses and sins, and he quickened me."
Amen.
I've been quickened. I've been drawn nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get baptized as a believer, we go in that watery grave and signify we died to and raised in a newness of life that is centered and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just being around him, there's this abundant life, everlasting life. You just, you can endure the life and enjoy the life, whatever you choose to do. But I have found him, that he has been a friend to walk with me, a very present help in the time of trouble. And one of the greatest examples of heartbreak usually comes in the thought of a death of a loved one. You just feel like there's nothing left. There's no, but we have what the Bible calls a blessed hope.
Amen.
We have a hope that the world thinks is ended with the grave, but we know that that's not the end of the story. On that third day, Jesus got up, and one day, if I die and buried, I'll get up. And I'm going to speak up. I want to speak up like this guy, whatever he said. I don't think I'm going to be confused going in the air, though. I think it'll be real clear then what's going on. I go up out of that grave, my spirit meets my body. I'm just going to shout, have a big old time in heaven, amen, in the sky. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to promise you this. I won't have anything inhibiting me, anything slowing me down. I won't have no pain, no sorrow, no problems.
Right.
When we get to heaven, we're going to all bow around the throne of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. I encourage you to look unto Jesus as the author and finisher of your faith. I encourage you to call upon him in your trials, your tribulations, your sorrow. I know some of you are going through different burdens and problems right now. If Jesus can do such as this, won't you let him have your case? Can you not see the compassion and the commitment of the Lord Jesus Christ to this widowed mother? Just simple times, Jesus can just say, "Peace, be still. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. Weep not. Let not your heart be troubled." He gets to the point. He gets to the matter of the heart. If you're not saved this morning, I highly recommend you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Call upon him for salvation. Ask him to come into your heart and save your soul. Trust him. Lean upon him as your Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the promised Redeemer. He is the one. There's no need to look for another. I promise you, that mother, when she went back home with that son, she knew he was the Messiah. There'd have been no doubt in that family's life who the Messiah was. I hope you can leave here today without any doubt that he's the one. He's the one a mother can recommend to the children. A grandma can recommend to the grandchildren. He's one every believer we can recommend to the dark, lost world around us. Church, I know it's Mother's Day, and we had a little bit of a mother connection to this verse. But there was a lot of context here about resurrection. One thing about the resurrection, it's just as good on Easter Sunday as it is Mother's Day. It'll work on Father's Day, 4th of July, Groundhog Day, amen, Labor Day. It'll work on Christmas Day, because the resurrection is the reason you and I are going to leave this wicked veil of tears one day. We're going to be absent from this body, present with the Lord, called up to meet him in the clouds, in the air. And the Bible tells me to use this commandment, wherefore comfort one another with these words. There's not much comfort down here. I was going down the road this morning, and I cut our broadcast on, and the broadcast came on, and I was preaching on, finishing up on the resurrection part of the Easter, and I called the congregation, and Brother Donnie comes up, and we sang, "I'll meet you in the morning." I got to crying listening to that. I got to thinking about my mom and my dad and my sister. And that morning, a morning at a time, will never turn to night. The day will be eternal. I'll be with my family, with my Lord, my loved ones reunited. And what a day that truly will be. And I long for that hope. If you've got your family with you now, be glad and thankful and appreciative. But also, leave no doubt, let them know in whom you have believed. Let there be no doubt where you are when you pass and when you die. And leave them that nugget of hope to know that one day we'll be together in heaven, reunited again. Sister Maury up in heaven, it'll be Mother's Day all through eternity. Father's Day, Valentine's Day, birthdays, anniversaries, everything will be renewal and rejoicing and life eternal centered around the man who's called the resurrection and the life. Father, I pray that you'd help our people, encourage them, bless them, protect them, Lord. Pray that you help the mothers today. Lord, just encourage them. Thank you for them, what they mean. Lord, many ladies around here have been like a mother and a grandmother to me. And I thank you for sending those special deliveries into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Sister Joanna, my wife's going back to the back.